Let's take a walk down the path towards the church,
which claims to be the oldest place of worship in Glasgow. Glasgow Cathedral may disagree, but they certainly have a very good claim to being a very early Christian settlement and possibly home of the court of the Royals of Strathclyde at one point, which goes some way to explaining the fabulous collection, the remarkable collection of carved stones they have in the keeping of the church.
We're walking north towards the river. On our right-hand side is the Pierce Institute, and ahead of us is the church.
The church is home to the Govan stones, and the hogbacks in particular. As we approach the building, Fraser Cappy from Glasgow Museums, the volunteer coordinator for the Govan Stones project, will tell us about them.
We've got quite a large collection of early medieval sculpture at the church. It all dates between the 9th and 11th centuries, and it's periodically the sculpture has kind of come to light in the graveyard. One of the main things that visitors come to see, and quite often comes as quite a big surprise to them, are our hogback gravestones. There's five in the collection, and they're very large. They're large sandstone objects, between 2 and 2.4 meters long, and they're reflective of a Scandinavian element in Govan society.
Let's pause here at the front door. If the church is open, please do go inside. You might meet Fraser or one of the other friendly people who are happy to tell you more about the fascinating story of the Govan stones.
Pause the audio, spend as long as you like, and then press play in the next chapter, and we'll see you when you're ready to get moving again.
We're going to head back up to Govan Road now, so walk south with the church behind you.
Let's hear more from Fraser Cappy on the influence of the Govan stones on contemporary community.
I think they give people an idea of a past, but in Govan particularly, of this kind of diverse identity. I think that people identify with it in different ways. We've got other groups like the Galgill in Govan, who are very interested in that mixed kind of Hibernal Norse heritage, and they're influenced by it, and they use it in their kind of woodworking and the kind of crafts that they're involved with and the skills that they're teaching to people in Govan.
Galgill is an inspiring community project in Govan that, in their own words,
provides learning experiences anchored in practical activities that offer purpose and meaning.
They teach traditional, practical skills to people who have faced challenges like worklessness, depression or addiction.
Back at the road, take a left and walk east along Govan Road with the Pierce Institute on your left-hand side.
The Pierce Institute contains a public hall, library and other rooms, and was gifted to Govan by shipbuilder Sir William Pierce's widow after he died in 1888. Before we talk a bit more about Pierce, let's reflect on a much earlier period of shipbuilding on the Clyde.
And it's maybe nice to think that there were Viking kingdoms in both York and Dublin around about the 10th century, and so the Clyde would have acted as a nice kind of route between the two. Shipbuilding and the kind of industrial period that we're more used to talking about is probably not the only time that shipbuilding was going on at Govan. It's been a centre of kind of trade for a lot longer.
Cross over Pierce Street.
Philanthropist, Govan MP and shipbuilder William Pierce was born in Kent in 1833 and trained as a shipwright and naval architect at the Chatham Dockyard. A year after arriving in Clydeside in 1864, he became general manager of Napier's Shipyard in Govan.
5 years later, Pierce became a partner in John Elder & Co. Having become sole owner in 1878, he converted the firm into a limited company called the Fairfield Shipping and Engineering Company in 1886. Under his direction, the firm became a world leader in ship design and marine engineering and was most famous for developing the triple expansion engine.